Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves you, who is for you. Amen. When you think about it, it seems like for so much of our lives, we are following this person or this thing, this instruction in our life from our kid, as Hannah was showing with our kids. The kids learn to play follow the leader, right? Where the leader gets to lead, and whatever they do, whoever is behind them, they play that game. Or another childhood game, Simon Says. Do you remember that game? All right, where the Simon Says, and if you don't do what Simon says, you're out, all right? And so you listen to instructions and you follow what is said. What about as adults? Do we have to follow anything? What about these, all right? We follow signs. We follow roads to get from this point to that point. What would happen if on the way home from church today, we all decided we're not going to follow any of these signs? How would that go? It would be interesting, wouldn't it, all right? Depends on how far you have to go. We might harm ourselves, we might harm others. There's actually something good in following. In fact, sometimes we follow so much, like in the military, that we follow without questioning because we trust the people who give us instructions that they are putting us in the right places, that they have equipped us. And so we go, we follow. We go to where whoever sends us, we follow their instructions. And so with that in mind, I think about Jesus too. He calls us who are followers of Jesus to listen to his word, to listen to his instructions, and part of what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, is to follow. This is not always an easy task because Jesus asks us at the heart of following him to deny ourselves. Sometimes it involves picking up that cross and following him. Today I want you to hear with fresh ears and fresh eyes the account of Jesus who calls disciples to follow him. And one thing that I want you to kind of hear is, what is their response? How do they respond when Jesus calls them to follow him? So we go to the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He begins his ministry with his first sermon. It's kind of short. He says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near." And so this is the response of God coming near: repent and believe the good news. At the heart, Jesus calls us to repent, to turn from our old way of living, and to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, God's son. Believe that he has come for you. And the next thing that Jesus did is to show that God's kingdom is coming, he went and he found a couple of brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were casting a net to the lake, and that's what they did. They were fishermen, going about their everyday lives, doing what their profession was. And Jesus said to them, come, there's the two words, follow me, and I will do something in your life. Jesus says, when you follow me, there's going to be a change. When you follow me, something is going to happen in your life, in your heart. And I love this promise that Jesus makes, that when you follow me, God says, I will make you. I will transform you. I will change you. When you follow me, when we follow Jesus, God does something in our heart and in our life. And that directs us to the purpose that God gives us, to be fishers of men. And how did Andrew respond? At once, they left their nets and followed him. To show that this just wasn't a fluke, Jesus went and found two more brothers, sons of Zebedee. They too were in a boat, but they were preparing their nets, and without delay, he called them. And James and John, they too left their dad, they left the hired men, and followed Jesus. I think about Jesus. he had this personality, this power. He may have had a relationship with these disciples as they were followers of John the Baptist as well. But when they saw Jesus, when they heard those words, "Follow me," they responded by leaving their lives and following Jesus. I think in these words that Jesus used, he also calls us today. He uses these words, "Follow me," two ways. One of them is as an invitation. It's an amazing invitation that Jesus invites us into a relationship with himself. Jesus invites us to be a part of what he is doing. We know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Jesus, by saying, "Follow me," he invites us to join him. He invites us to be a part of what he is doing. He invites us into a relationship with himself. "Follow me." Because in following him, who are we with? Jesus. But it's also a command. Jesus also says to you and to me, "Follow me," with this sense of expectation that we should hear his voice and respond, to take what we're doing, whatever is going on in our life, and say, "Here I am, Jesus, send me." And sometimes this is really hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to hear Jesus' words. And some people, when they heard Jesus' call to follow him, they didn't leave their nets. They didn't leave their lives. One of those accounts happened in Mark chapter 10, when there was a young ruler who came to Jesus. He had a heart pursuing the Lord, and he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said, "Well, we have to keep the commandments," and he listed a few. And the young man said, "All of these I have kept since my youth." And I love Jesus looked at this man, and he said, he loved him. Just like the song that we heard, Jesus loves us, he is for us. This young man, he desired to be a part of God's kingdom, and Jesus loved him. But then Jesus said to this young ruler, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all that you have, and do what with it? Give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." I think one of the most tragic lines in the Bible is that at this, the man's face fell because he went away sad because he had great wealth. This man came to Jesus seeking eternal life, seeking the kingdom of God. But Jesus knew that there was something that was keeping him from entering into God's kingdom, his love of wealth, his love of this world. And Jesus said, "To really follow me, you must leave it all behind. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Follow me. I'll take care of you." So my question for you today, who do you find yourself more like, the disciples or the young man? As Jesus calls you to follow him, do you find yourself like the disciples to just say, "Yes, Jesus," and drop whatever you're doing to say, "Jesus, whatever you need, I'm here. Let me follow you"? Or are there things in your life that are keeping you from responding to Jesus' voice in your life? You know, as I was thinking about this, some things that just come up in all of us. Sometimes it's our sinful desires that keep us from following Jesus. Jesus says, "Leave that sin behind. Don't go back to that. Don't go back there. Leave it behind." Sometimes our sin keeps us from following Jesus. Sometimes we have in our mind our own plans. We have our own way of we want our life to turn out. We things that we want to do, our own plans. And Jesus says, I've got other plans for you. Don't be a fisherman anymore. Follow me. Be a fisher of men. Sometimes our own plans keep us from following Jesus. I think within us, sometimes there's a source of pride. Say, I've got this, Jesus. I don't need to follow you. I've got my own plan. I've got my retirement. I'm doing just fine, Jesus. It keeps us from hearing the voice of Jesus in our life. Come, follow me. But I think there's also fear. Sometimes fear keeps us from following Jesus. It's what Jonah experienced in the Old Testament reading. We heard about Jonah, how he finally went to Nineveh to proclaim that God was going to destroy the city. But if you remember, what did Jonah do when God first said, "Jonah, I want you to go to preach the word"? Do you remember what Jonah did? He ran away. He went in the opposite direction. He said, "God, I don't want to have any part of that." And then he went on the boat, and what happened on the boat? There was a great storm, and he got thrown overboard, and he got swallowed by the whale. And in the midst of the whale, when he was rock bottom, he cried out, "Lord, my life is in your hands. I should have realized this from the very beginning. Lord, I'm your servant." And with that prayer, God spit him out, and he went and did what God asked him to do, and the city was saved. My friends in Christ, what's keeping you from following Jesus? And I'm not talking about your salvation. I think, you know, we know Jesus, we're saved by him, but in our day-to-day, day in and day out living, are we following Jesus? Are we seeking him first, loving him with our heart, soul, and mind? Today I want to hear this portion of God's word. I think it's so strong as it encourages us to come to Jesus and follow him. The author of Hebrews says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let's run the race." In this race, who are we following? Who's leading in this race? Jesus. Let's follow this race marked out for us. And when we lose sight, when we lose track, it says, continues, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." You know, sometimes when our eyes get down into this world, into the troubles of our lives, in the stuff that we can't control, it can overwhelm us, it can freeze us, it can keep us from following Jesus. And the best thing to do is to lift up your eyes. Look to Jesus who died on the cross for you. Look to Jesus who understands, who sympathizes, who we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, because Jesus endured the scorn of the cross for us. We can come before Jesus knowing that we're not worthy, knowing that we don't deserve it, knowing that we are sinful, but in the cross, Jesus forgives us, and he sets us on a new path that we may run the race marked out before us. So today, I want to leave you with two questions as we seek to follow Jesus together. The first one, I challenge you today, maybe every morning, say, "Jesus, how can I follow you today?" What does that look like? Maybe it's making sure you get into that time in the Word. Maybe it's taking that time to prayer. Maybe it's somebody that God places in your heart to pray for. Maybe following Jesus means loving that person at work that really annoys you, all right? Maybe loving Jesus means giving that person another chance to forgive them, you know, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. Maybe following Jesus means taking what's keeping you from following him and laying it before his altar. Because I know Jesus is on the move. And he wants you to join him, to ask Jesus, "How can I join you? How can I follow you?" And knowing that God, by his grace, by the Holy Spirit, calls you to follow. May you and I be made by the Holy Spirit, fishers of men, to join Jesus on his mission. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, here we are, ordinary people in the midst of our lives. But today in worship, we heard these words as you called the disciples, "Follow me." Lord, open up our hearts and our ears to hear these words, "Follow me, and I will make you, I will do something in you to place you a desire, not for yourself, but for my kingdom." Lord, help us to repent. Help us to believe and trust in you and to follow you, that you may do something in us to make us fishers of men. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done. Help us to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,